Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And blessed Father's Day to you. We're going to talk a little bit about the vocation of fatherhood today. If you're not a father or a grandfather or a godparent, well, you still have you're still required to listen. Because we each have a calling, we each have a vocation in life, which is dependent on the people in our lives. So I think you can find a way to apply this to yourself. And before we get into our text from the Gospel of Matthew, there's a quote from Angie Papadakis that I want to share with you on this Father's Day. I think it applies to most every father, and also to grandfathers, as I think you'll see. And I think also to godfathers, not the ones in the movie, but sponsors of Christian children, Christian men who undertake to be sponsors of their nephews or their nieces or the children of close friends at Holy Baptism. And I encourage you to think about your own father as you hear this. The quote is this, and it's about a newborn baby. A baby has a way of making a man out of his father and a boy out of his grandfather. That's where you're supposed to laugh. But doesn't that capture it? A baby has a way of making a man out of his father. And speaking from experience, when you become a father, especially for the first time, you feel this awesome joy. And if you ever see a new father, you see how bright their eyes are that day. I saw it this week. Or was it last week? Last week. It's pretty awesome. Awesome joy. But the father also feels awesome responsibility. Awesome responsibility. This tiny, helpless person who you're holding in your arms can't do anything for themselves. They totally depend on you and their mother, of course. Now, I can't say it's the same thing. I can't say it's the same thing for motherhood. I imagine it is. But for us men, it certainly makes us take our eyes off of ourselves for a minute and concentrate on those who depend upon us. You see, that's what godly fatherhood is like. Godly fatherhood treats dependence as joys, not as burdens. Just as God, our Heavenly Father, through Holy Baptism, treats us as His children, as joys in whom He delights, and not as burdens. And I think also that's what makes the second part of this quote true as well. That a baby has a way of making a boy out of his grandfather. One feels, I think, I'm not a grandfather yet, but I imagine that one feels the same awesome joy and also some pride in your son or your daughter, whose child it is. And secondary responsibility. But what grandfather or grandmother wouldn't step up and defend or protect that helpless baby if called upon to do so? True fatherliness rejoices to protect and to provide for one's dependents. And it doesn't matter if they deserve it or not. It doesn't matter how incapable they might be, or even as a baby, how unresponsive they might be, or even for your parents or grandparents towards the end of their lives, at how incapable they may become, or even how incommunicative they might become. It It's a reflection of God's fatherly love for us. As St. Paul says in Romans here today, Christ died for us while we were weak, helpless, and ungodly, out of pure grace and love for us. And that while we were still sinners and enemies of God, He died for us. That's what that love looks like. Nothing that a person does and nothing that a person doesn't do or can't do separates us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. From that special delight that He has in each one of us, like a father has with a newborn son or daughter. That brings us to our text today, our gospel text today, where St. Matthew introduces this with a kind of a summary statement. He does this three times in the Gospel of Matthew. And this time he says, "And Jesus went throughout the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction." Now where is this? This would be in Galilee. In fact, it will be where I expect to be next Sunday morning at this time. When you're all gathered here, I'll be in Galilee, where this took place. Here we see what Jesus is telling His disciples to do. It's part of the Great Commission we talked about last week, the mission of the church, to make disciples by teaching and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. And the gospel of the kingdom isn't a place. It's not a heavenly kingdom. It's that God is intervening in this world. And His reign and His rule are coming to this world through the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And just like a father has compassion for his children, Jesus saw these crowds of people and He had compassion on them. Now, here's a brief Greek lesson. This word for compassion that St. Matthew uses here in Greek is the word splagitzomai, okay? You can all go home and say splagitzomai, okay? I have splagitzomai for you, and it's a word that almost sounds like what it means in the sense of he has compassion from this gut feeling that you just feel for someone who's in this helpless state, who can't take care of themselves. It just pours out of you from here. Some of us have more here than others. It doesn't mean we have more compassion. Maybe it should. I don't know. Splagitzomai. He had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless. And in the Greek, where we see harassed, it sounds like people who have been whipped, people who have been flayed. Harassed doesn't even quite get to that. And helpless. People who have been like tossed about in Greek. Tossed about by this world. Totally helpless. As helpless as that little babe in her father's arms. Not only that, needing protection. Just as a father or a grandfather has this gut feeling of wanting to protect and take care of the child from what we know is a very evil world. We need that protection. We need that help. Like sheep needing protection from the shepherd, from all the big bad wolves. I don't need to tell you that all those big bad wolves aren't just in fairy tales. They're part of the consequence of sin in this world. I expect all of you could name some big bad wolves in your lives that you would want to protect your children and your grandchildren from, and the people in your lives who you love. So Jesus, seeing the people as sheep without a shepherd, says to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And notice that this prayer is answered immediately. Because Jesus turns to his 12 and says, you're it. I'm sending you out. 12 disciples, and he gives authority. See, God always seems to involve human beings as part of his plan. Human beings that means us, who are called to do what he asks us to do. And he knows that these are human beings that we're talking about. Human beings with human weaknesses and human frailties. Yet he still sends us out. Because we've got a part to play too. But the real work is done by God himself. Well, Matthew, one of the 12 named here, doesn't record what he felt like or what the other disciples said. I can only imagine. I wonder if Simon the Zealot was thinking, I get stuck with Judas Iscariot again. Why do I have to go with him? Judas would later betray Jesus. Maybe Matthew doesn't say how they all felt because it doesn't matter that much. Maybe there's a lesson for that in us, for us. That maybe how we feel when we're sent out matters less than the fact that we are sent out. That we are the ones that God is depending on to help those who are helpless, who don't know who Jesus is. God knows what he's doing. He knows the Holy Spirit is the one who's going to do the work. Well, in any case, Jesus simply casts them out, throws them out there, so to speak. But he gives them authority, pretty significant authority at that. He says, go out and cast out unclean demons. Go out and heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. In fact, if you were listening closely, he says, go out and raise the dead. That's the authority that he gives to these 12 disciples. But only those 12 disciples. And as we at Holy Cross start to think about as a congregation of followers of Christ, I think we should think about what we are asked to do. And sometimes it's good to remember what we're not asked to do. Our commission isn't to go heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, throw out the unclean spirits, and raise the dead. I'm not going to go tell you to do that today. I can't tell you to do that today. I don't have authority to tell you to do that today. Our job, the mission of the church, is to go and make disciples. To tell people who Jesus is and what he's done for us. How he's forgiven us. How he's reconciled us to God, our Father. So that we don't have to war with him. And we don't have to war with each other. We don't have to raise the dead. We don't have to do it all alone by ourselves. And we're in this together. Now, you may be surprised to know that there's power in the Word of God. There's power in what you have to say to those who are in your life who are helpless and in need of hearing a word of forgiveness from Jesus Christ. Because in the power of that word, you know what's going to happen in the end. In the end, we all will be raised from the dead by the power of God's word that you hear today and that you speak to those in your lives, in your vocation, as a father or a grandfather or a mother or a sister or brother as a daughter or as a son. In the end, the dead will be raised. The unclean spirits will be cast out. And all will be healed of every disease and every affliction. But we're not there yet. We don't know how long it will be until then. But I think we should take a clue from the children of Israel, as we heard in Exodus 19 today. We know that God called them as a people to be a kingdom, a priesthood of believers, a holy nation. And that's why He sends the 12 out here today to go to Israel. He says, don't go to the Gentiles yet. He didn't say yet, but he will say later, after His resurrection, go to the Gentiles. He says, don't go to the Gentiles. Don't even go to Samaria, the people who are partly Jewish, of partly Jewish descent. He says, go to the lost sheep of Israel. That's who I am sending you out today for. Because they are the ones called by that covenant in Exodus 19 to be the priesthood, the intermediaries. Just like Moses was an intermediary to them, Jesus was an intermediary for all of us. Now I'm sending you 12 out as intermediaries to them to say, wake up, the kingdom of God is here in the person of Jesus Christ. God's plan of salvation is coming through this Jesus, who's the Messiah, as long promised. So go to Galilee. The question for each of us individually is, what's my Galilee? And the question for us as a congregation is, what's our Galilee? Where are we being sent? To whom are we being sent in our lives? If you're a father, it starts with your family, your children. If you're a grandfather, if you're a grandmother or a mother, starts with your family. The 12 disciples here go to the 12 lost tribes of Jacob first. Not only, but this is the mission here and now. Our mission is to make disciples. Who is our family? Not all over the world, but here in Western New York. That's part of the process. And He gives us authority not to raise the dead, but to speak His words of comfort and forgiveness and life and salvation, which are for all people. Promises which are true and sure and coming to be in the person of Jesus Christ, who has already showed up, who is present here today in His body and blood, and who's coming again very soon. We're not alone in this. We do it together. And that's how we get to the part about being a grandfather. That's the part where we realize we're the ones with the secondary responsibility. The Holy Spirit's doing all the work. We're just spreading the good news. Good news. Rejoicing in that. And like a new grandfather, let us be filled with joy. As we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have reconciliation with our Heavenly Father. In His name, Amen.